This is Chris Hughes with the Christian Perspective Podcast with Chris Hughes, where we encourage our listeners to engage the culture with Jesus Christ. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds, so enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening to the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Well, so fun, you know, and Stu Epperson and I originally began discussions on why we would do this particular show, because you may know that I've done the Christian Car Guy show for a lot of years. Well, actually, only about a year and a half after I started the Christian Car Guy show, I started a show that was called Robbie's Hobbies. And the idea behind Robbie's Hobbies was everybody that I was talking to back then wanted to get on the Christian Car Guy show, but they didn't do anything with cars. And so we needed a show with a broader format in order to, you know, see how God took their passion and used it to build the kingdom. Well, Stu was he liked my hobbies rhymed with Robbie, so he came up with Robbie's Hobbies. And, of course, what happened for the number of years it was called Robbie's Hobbies was a lot of guests wouldn't come on because they're like, well, I don't do a hobby. I'm in ministry. And so we changed the name of the show to Kingdom Pursuits, to more match up what it is that we're actually doing years later. If you ever wonder why that went from Robbie's Hobbies to Kingdom Pursuits, that's why it did. But the whole reason for the show was when you got really cool people that God has asked them to do something, and they had a God idea, like what we were just talking about in the last show. And they tuned in to WGOD, however that worked, and oh my goodness, look at this. And so our first guest is a poster child for that idea. We have Rhonda Martin, and she just got involved with this God idea called the First Supper. I know you're interested to know about that one. So welcome, Rhonda.
Hi.
That's a lot of introduction that you didn't expect, right?
I did not, but I thank you for it.
But that was why I was so thrilled to death. I got a letter from Stu. Mm-hmm. That shared this idea of the First Supper and how God had given it to you and how you took it to your son's school, right?
I did. It was third grade in Concord, North Carolina, and the homeroom moms are like, well, we've got to come up with something for Christmas. We have to have a Christmas thing. And I kept thinking about back in my childhood how every year it was the same wise men, Mary, Joseph, shepherds, you know, thing. And, you know, I remember having this tinsel garland wreath on my head that was supposed to be in a halo. And it was just every year it was like, oh gosh, here we go again. And I wanted something different for my son. I wanted something for them to remember. And,
well, don't go for too far, cause we get to our next guest.
Oh, okay.
So, but that's good. I love that. You can see how God gave her this idea to keep
the children involved, yeah.
So how cool. And our next guest, talk about God ideas, we have Richard Cummins, who's with Lead Like Jesus. That's an event that's coming. It's called the Next Level Global Gathering. Wow. And it's coming October 13th. Welcome, Richard.
Hello. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Oh, we are just excited as we can be, because I think everybody would like to lead like Jesus, don't you think?
Absolutely. He's the greatest leadership role model of all time.
And so, wow, there's a global gathering coming, right?
Yeah, there is. And so if you think about it like this, everywhere we look around us today, we're dealing with people that are offended or division. There's just so much of that going on. And some of the stats we've seen recently is that 9 out of 10 Americans believe we're in a leadership crisis. And so the time is now. The time is now to really talk about those age-old ways of Jesus, the ways of the carpenter. I mean, he led the greatest movement of all time.
That's absolutely beautiful. So you can see we're loaded for bear today on Kingdom Pursuits. But those of you who've listened for years know that I have to do my riddles. And so if you hadn't listened before, either Rhonda or Richard, you get to hear it whether you like it or not. So here we go.
All right.
So are you ready for this, Sean?
I am, but I'm not going to get it right like usual.
Okay. So speaking of supper, you know what Mozart said when he was called for supper while composing?
What's
he would
that?
Say one minuet. And you may have wondered about this, but I heard that Jesus told the disciples something at Last Supper wasn't recorded in the Bible. Have you ever heard of this?
No,
yeah, he
that?
Said, everybody get on this side of the table if you want your picture taken.
That's good.
And, of course, for those Star Wars freaks out there like me, right? Why can't Jedi children use their powers at the supper table?
Why?
Because Jedi parents don't believe their children should be force-fed.
Oh, now that's bad. That's bad.
Okay.
You liked that one, didn't you, Sean? You got a little
Star Wars. Yeah, I'm a Star Wars
right,
guy.
So, actually, I don't do this very often, but my actual Bible riddle today is a little more open-ended than usual and doesn't have any puns in it, so I didn't even think that way. So I just want to know what you think, because, you know, I really love what Rhonda's doing here with the First Supper. So I want to know, what do you feel like was the key word when Jesus was describing, was talking to the disciples in the Last Supper, giving them the bread and the wine? What do you feel like, you know, I have my idea, but I would love to know what your idea was, the key word that he used when he was talking about communion, right? 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. And Sean, if they can answer that riddle, tell them what they'll win.
They'll win one of our prizes from the Kingdom Pursuit / Christian Car Guy Prize Vault.
I have the Christian Car Guy t-shirts. You could be styling and profiling, right, with this beautiful shirt. Or you can choose a book from the Prize Vault. 866-348-7884 is the number to call in. All you got to do is tell us, what do you feel was the key word, right, that was used in the Last Supper? Well, we'll be talking about the First Supper here in a minute, but there you go. So getting back to our Lead Like Jesus event, it's October 13th, and this is something everybody can take part in, right, Richard?
That's right. It's absolutely free. It's free to sign up, and as a matter of fact, if you do, you'll also be able to have access to the content for 90 days. And we actually have an audience right now in 60 countries, so the U.S. and 59 other nations. So it's absolutely free.
And by the way, we've put the link there at kingdompursuits.com, and it's also going to be there at truthnetwork.com. But if you go to Kingdom Pursuits, you'll see the Lead Like Jesus event, the next level, a global gathering, or you can just go in and Google the next level global gathering. It's huge, and you can find out how to register for this. And I think you're going to find out through the show today exactly why that would be important to you. But I think it's so neat to have this over here. But at the same time, you know, we're talking about third grade, right? Mm-hmm. Like our mm-hmm. kids are here. They're here.
Yep.
And you know what I thought about when I read your story was, you know, my parents didn't go to church very much when I was a kid. And we're talking about, you know, Rhonda Martin's, her First Supper story. And, but they did go a couple times. We lived in Naperville, Illinois. And I can only remember one Sunday school I ever went to, but I'll never, ever forget it. And what it was they did a Passover Seder, like, for kids. And so they had the horseradish you had to put in your mouth and the bitter herbs and all this stuff. And I never forgot that. Right? I mean, I didn't become a Christian until I was in my 30s, but I never forgot that Sunday school lesson. And, of course, when I watched the movie, The Ten Commandments, you know, that I know what this is. I've done this. I know what that is. And actually, first time I read through the Bible, I was like, oh, I know what this is and all that stuff. Because what? Somebody thought through, like, we need a regular, we don't need just a, you know, something that would be a whole experience.
Yep.
More than, you know, just the stereotypical Christmas event, right?
Right.
So how cool is that? Well, the lines are lighting up, man. We got Riddlers. They're coming. I'm very excited to hear about what they think are the key words in the Last Supper. I know you are, too.
I am.
You're going to find out what the First Supper is all about. How cool is that? And you're going to find out more about this global gathering. I think you're going to be so glad you tuned in today. Stay tuned. Again, all the stuff's at kingdompursuits.com. Stay tuned. So much more coming up.
You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom, whether that's a passion to teach third grade, Christmas pageant stuff, or whether that's to, obviously that's the next generation, right? Or whether you got a global gathering,
right?
Like Lead Like Jesus, yeah. Absolutely huge. So it's really cool for me to be able to host this today. And then we've got some really cool callers. So we got Ann is in Raleigh, North Carolina. She may have an answer to our riddle. Tom is calling from New Lebanon, Ohio, it looks like. So, Tom, be sure and stay on the line no matter what Ann says, because even if it's the same thing, I definitely want to talk to you, okay? So, Ann, tell me your thoughts on what do you think is the key word in when Jesus was talking about the bread and the wine?
Well, the key word I was thinking was remember, because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, to just remember his ransom sacrifice. And that he's going to come back.
That is so beautiful, isn't it? Isn't it just so cool? And, you know, my boss, Stu Epperson, who owns a radio station, who Richard knows, he wrote a book, The Last Words of Jesus. And in that, he talked about at length what the thief on the cross said, something similar, right? Remember me when you come into your kingdom?
Yeah.
And we have this concept of, like, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus remembered me?
Yes.
Well, very cool. The letter Zion, and if you look at the 119th Psalm, all those verses are very much directed at remembering. So you couldn't be more on track from my point of view. Like, oh yeah, that being mindful is like, Jesus is in this. Jesus knows about that. I mean, that it's really, really, really spectacular, and I'm so glad that you called in today and shared that.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye. So we got Tom is in New Lebanon, I think, Ohio. Tom, you're on Kingdom Pursuits. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have never in my history of Kingdom Pursuits had a call from New Lebanon, Ohio, so we're so excited that you guys are calling in today.
Well, it's not a real strong station, but I come across it and like the content, and so here I am.
Well, I am thrilled to death that you here you are. And so, how about what's the key word for you in thinking about when Jesus shared in the Last Supper?
My thoughts were, as your other caller, remember Christ. And all that we do, we should.
Yeah, and it has so much to do with being mindful, right? Like, wow.
Absolutely. Yes. Never leave him out of anything.
I struggle, honestly. You know, it's no problem for me to somehow or another look up at the clock and it's 11 o'clock in the morning and I go, I haven't thought about God in about 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's just,
right.
It's
true.
And how did I do this, man? I was like, I started out so good.
Yeah. Even when you're like taking that first bite when you're real hungry, you know, of your meal and everything, it's like,
oh, you now you've gone to preaching on me.
Yeah, I know. I do that myself.
Oh, yeah, I've done it. I've done it. And a lot of times my mother-in-law, who often stays with us, she often looks at me like, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that is so good, Tom. So good. I am so grateful for. How's the weather up there in New Lebanon, Ohio this morning?
Beautiful day. Very, very sunny. And it's like close to 70, but we're getting ready to go watch a soccer game, my grandchildren, and just enjoying it.
Oh, well, I'm hoping you'll remember Jesus. Yeah. And I'll remember your call for all day. It makes my day that I got a call from New Lebanon, Ohio today. Thank you, Tom.
Well, thank you.
God bless. Yeah. I appreciate it very much. Bye-bye.
You have a good day.
You too. So, Richard, where are you calling from today?
Oh, Richard, Ohio.
You're in Ohio, too? Are you in New Lebanon in Ohio?
No, but I'm very close to Edgerton, Ohio. So I'm up in the northwest part of the state.
Oh, well, that's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Two Ohio's. Or Ohio, what do they call it? What do they call somebody from Ohio? Ohioan?
Buckeyes.
Buckeyes. There you go. That fits. That fits. So, tell us how did this come about? I mean, it looks like your whole website is Lead Like Jesus. So this is a passion you've had for a while.
Yeah. So the organization was founded in 1999 by a gentleman, author and speaker named Ken Blanchard. So Ken, as he came to the Lord, he had phenomenal success as a writer, and so much so that it began for him to start wondering why that success was coming. And so a good friend of his named Phil Hodges led him to Jesus, and then he came to understand the gospel was chock full of these rich leadership ideals and ways of Jesus, how he led the disciples to lead a kingdom movement. And so that's where our organization started, and we're in 24 nations currently, equipping and inspiring people to lead like Jesus from a servant-based leadership approach. And this event, you know, I'm excited, Robbie, to tell you about it because, you know, we view leadership as any time you influence the thinking, behavior, or development of another person. And when you think about it, that's all of us. If you're a Christian and you have the Matthew 28 mandate to go make disciples, we're all leaders. And so this event is for everybody, whether it's a mom, a wrestling coach, or a CEO.
No, oh, it's so beautiful. And in this case, we have the mom right here, Rhonda. So take us back. You didn't want to have the tinsel and the, you know, Mary and Joseph thing. So when we left our hero, you were trying to come up with something you felt like would
right.
be a way to impact them for Christmas, but not the same old.
Right. I wanted to do something that was interactive with kids because at that age, everybody wants to be a part of something. Nobody wants to just stand there, you know, looking at a manger in, you know, school play. They wanted to be interactive. So I told the moms, I've got this. Don't worry about it. They were like so relieved that somebody else was going to take responsibility. So I came home and I dug in my attic and I got some old sheets and an old tassel belt from a curtain and just all kind of things. And the next day I went to school and...
you got to tell the part about your husband.
Which part is that?
Didn't you dress up and show him what you're
going? Oh, yes, I did. I dressed up and I was dressed up as that. And he sat there like biting his lip, keep from laughing. And my son at first was like, that's so cool. And then Ford's like... oh gosh, he's going to be doing this in front of my friends. It was like more. He went from, you know, excited and laughing to mortified. But I did rehearse it in front of them, and then I told the parents, said, "All you have to do is bring this for dinner. And, you know, we're going to have a little meal after it. Just bring this and this and this." And the parents were like, "Sure, yeah, you got this. I'll bring, you know, sliced melon balls or something. I can do this." So the story is told through the eyes of the innkeeper's wife. Instead of just saying this happened, if you know, the manger and all, I wanted to tell it different. And she tells about how the people were coming to her hotel and she was packed and there were so many people there. And then this couple comes and knocks on the door and woke them up. And it's just told from her idea of how there's this pregnant woman there and she decides to feed them a meal. And that was the first supper. And so I researched and did all kind of looking up on Google about what they ate at that time. They ate melons, they ate goat cheese, they ate figs, cucumbers, and things like that, pine nuts. And so we brought them into class the next day, and after it was over with, after I told the story, I was Naomi, and I told it, And hello, I'm Naomi. I'm here from 2,000 years ago to tell you the story. And so had the towels all around me, and the children were just it was really surprising because they were like, "Hey, did you use knives and forks back then?" And they didn't see me as Ford's mom. I was this lady, you know, from 2,000 years ago. I was Naomi, this lady, you know, that had a hotel and. Or in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, and they were like, "Well, what did you do then? And why do you eat fig leaves and or grape leaves?" And they asked all kind of different questions, and it was like they were really just fascinated by it. I had to think of some answers on the cuff because I didn't know.
So I'm just saying, Richard, it sounded like she was leading like Jesus.
I was trying.
Absolutely,
I was trying.
He was,
and so. You know, you can hear, and this is just brilliant, the way that God worked through that. But you've got all these speakers that are going to help us, right, to hone in on that kind of thinking. Share who all is lined up for this event.
Yeah, so we have Pat Lencioni. Pat Lencioni is well known for a number of different books, like the Five Dysfunctions of a Team, Hungry, Hungable, Smart, just a number of leadership gems, classics. So we also have John Gordon, who's known for the Energy Bus. One that I'm really excited about, too, is James J.B. Brown, the sportscaster from CBS. Listen, Robbie, this guy, he's a great sportscaster, but he's an even better pastor.
Really?
He's just chock full of scriptural wisdom. It just oozes out of him. You're going to love it. And then Ken Blanchard, obviously, he's our founder. We also have Tricia Goyer. She may be familiar to some of your audience. Tricia Goyer has written over 80 books on parenting, on marriages, on families. And so she's going to be one of our speakers as well.
Yeah, this is so cool. And again, this is events free. And it's going to be streaming on October 13th, 2021, all day. And so all you have to do is go to Lead Like Jesus. Like the next level globalgathering.com, or you can go to Kingdom Pursuits or go to truthnetwork.com. Again, it is the next level global gathering, October 13th. You don't want to miss it. It's free. You can get signed up. Plus, you can find out more about the First Supper when we come back. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And today we're so blessed to have Richard Cummins with us. He is with the Lead Like Jesus event that's coming up. It's called the Next Level Global Gathering. It's going to be October 13th, and you can register. It's absolutely free online at kingdompursuits.com or Truth Network, wherever you want to go. As well as Rhonda Martin with The First Supper. This is a book. It's coming out on Amazon now, and it's soon going to be in, like, Cracker Barrels and stuff like that.
We hope. My mother said she'd be happy when, you know, it was in Sam's Clubs, because my mother loves Sam's Club. That'd make
so
me feel good.
You've heard about The Last Supper, but chances are I don't know if you've heard about the first one.
Right.
So that's what Rhonda is sharing today. So, Richard, I'm really interested. I mean, you told us how the Lead Like Jesus got started, but I want to know how Richard got involved.
Well, you know, that's a long, complicated question, but I can give you the quick one. So I've been a leader primarily all of my life. God is, and really a reluctant leader for much of it. God's put me in different positions. The most prominent, I guess, or the earliest one would have been at 22. I inherited a family-owned business when my dad had a massive heart attack and passed away. But that put me on a journey of becoming a leader, both in the marketplace. I was a leader in the military, but more recently, in the last dozen or so years, I've been a leader in ministry. And so when COVID happened, I was actually on the leadership team of New Song Ministries, where I met Stu and had a chance to get to know Stu. And we were doing big, large, huge events all over the country with people like David Crowder and Louis Giglio and folks like that. Well, as you can imagine, when COVID hit, that world shut down pretty hard. And I was seeking God as to what was next in my life. And God made it very clear. He said, continue to lead people. That was in my spirit. And so when I found out about Lead Like Jesus, they were transitioning from the past CEO who retired to what was next. God blessed me with this opportunity right in the middle of COVID, believe it or not.
Well, what better time to lead like Jesus, right?
Amen.
It is. I you know, what you said at the top of the show, there's just conflict everywhere. And so much division over things that who would ever thought. And so, wow, there's higher stuff to think about. And so I am so thrilled that you guys are doing this. And the event itself's in Kentucky, but it's streaming. Tell us about the, is it happen in the morning or the after, what's going on with that?
So 9 a.m. Eastern to 4:30 p.m. Pacific, or I'm sorry, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. And I mentioned Pacific because I was thinking about my friends actually in the Philippines. So they're going to be a 2-dayer. So they're going to start on the 13th and end on the 14th. But for us here in the States, it's 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern.
Right. And so it's on a Wednesday morning, obviously, at 9 a.m., which is Wednesday the 13th. It's actually just a week from Wednesday, believe it or not. That's how fast the 13th is coming. There's going to be Christmas movies coming at us every which way before we know it, isn't there? And nobody's going to have a Christmas movie called The First Supper.
I hope not.
Well, if they've followed your book and they're going to promote it, I was thinking they need to cast you as the star based on that accent I heard a minute ago.
I'm past my time.
So you went and the kids just obviously they grasped this in such a neat way. And so was your prayer, hopefully, to as you publish this book, that other teachers would take this on?
I was hoping it because it's interactive mostly at the end. We gave them, like I said, pine nuts and lamb. A lot of the children, even myself, I had never had lamb before, but one of the parents fixed it. It was wonderful. I had never had pine nuts before.
You didn't grow up in New Mexico like I did.
No, I did not.
Well, I would tell you, we've been eating pinions.
We've had, but there was like figs and goat cheese, and the kids were like, I'm not eating goat cheese, but several of them. That was when Fear Factor was a game show on TV. Everybody watched, and the kids were like, I said, well, let's just try it like Fear Factor, and they tried it, and they, you know, several of them liked it. The teacher loved, she was an older lady, she loved the figs. So, but they all had that, and it was a chance to be a part of the First Supper, what Jesus would have eaten during his time. So when they were like, well, wait a minute, figs. You remember when Jesus told a fig tree to wither up and die, to curl up and die, basically? And they're like, is that the same tree? Yes, that's the same tree that the figs came up. That's, you know, what he did when he told it. But it's a good little book. I've had recently, I sent one to John Hagee Ministries. And they're interested. They're like, hey, well, we like this. Where can we get it? So I have Amazon or my publisher.
The thing I love about it, that, you know, personally, because I experienced it somewhat as a kid, you know, with doing the Passover that way, is it will be something that they remember, right? They're never going to forget that goat cheese. They're never going to forget, right? The pinion nuts, which I guess they call pine nuts. You know, all those things that they didn't try, but moreover, they're connecting the dots where there was no room.
Right. They're like, they really ate this? They had this back then 2,000 years ago. And so it was something for the children where they could take part, they learn, and they retain more than just sitting there having a story read to them or being a part of a play where they just stand there and, you know, they're not a part of it. They have energies and they're like sponges and they soak things up. So that was one of the things I noticed. And then when I began working with Ron and Jackie Pegram, they're like, you've got to tell this story. You've got to do something. This is too cool. You've got to do something with this.
It really is. And so on the concept of remember, Richard, I'm curious, for your event, obviously you got all these amazing speakers. From your perspective, what's there to help us remember to lead like Jesus?
Well, his whole life, you know, his whole life is an example for us, his life on earth, that is. And I was even thinking, you know, when you were just discussing about the First Supper and his childhood, you know, when Jesus came on the scene, they didn't say, hey, isn't this the miraculous carpenter? They didn't know at that point, or isn't this the miraculous carpenter's son? I mean, Jesus had a childhood, and it's very relatable in ways. And so we think about three elements to that as Jesus came onto the scene in ministry. One, he had a divine sense of purpose. So he knew early on, even at the temple, you know, I'm about my Father's business. And then he also was raised by servants. So he was a heart nurtured by other hearts in service. Mary and Joseph, they were two incredible servant leaders. And then finally, you know, he was raised in the profession of carpentry. And so Jesus, I mean, he was man and he was God on earth. And so he definitely was relatable to people at the time. And so he's relatable to us today. So that's the thing that I would remember about him, is that his ways, the ways that he modeled for us, are things that we can do except for perfection. But we definitely can lead the way he did, out of having God-grounded confidence and humility and all of these amazing traits.
Yeah, I'm reminded that, you know, he came from the line of King David, right? Whose name starts and ends with a Dalet, which means, you know, servant, or the door of servanthood. And so, you know, and they say that King David had those attributes. Certainly Moses had them, right? Of this really, really humble person that just chiming in there. And certainly as I listen to you, Richard, I can sense why God has blessed you with that. Because this sense of reluctant leadership, right? The people that grab the bull by the horns necessarily are not the best leaders sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Well, so pride and hubris, sometimes that rules the day. And I'll tell you, that's exactly why the world needs this 2,000-year-old model.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So we got one little short segment coming, so you don't want to miss that. As we got a little bit more on the First Supper and a little bit more on the Next Level Global Gathering coming October 13th. It's all at kingdompursuits.com. And, of course, the book, The First Supper, is going to be there at Amazon. So we got so much more coming up. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And I just had a blast today. I'm going to be honest, so much fun today with Rhonda Martin and her First Supper experience. That it's not just a book, it's just an experience that as we come into the Christmas season, wow, what an opportunity maybe for your class or however God might put that on your heart, as well as Richard Cummins with Lead Like Jesus, their event, the Next Level Global Gathering. It's coming October 13th. It's a Wednesday, a week from Wednesday. Apparently, it's coming right at us. And again, it starts at 9 a.m. It's free. All you got to do is go register. And I can tell you, Stu's pumped up about this, Richard. I mean, he was telling me that, Robbie, we got to go to Kentucky or something. He's talking about.
Well, come on. We'd love to have you. We're going to be also joined by Passion Music, so they're going to be doing worship with us that day.
So, as you guys set out to do this, what are you hoping people come away with?
Life transformation, understanding, discovering Jesus's model of leadership, beginning to develop that in themselves, demonstrate it in community, and then finally disciple other disciples who will disciple more disciples. I mean, I know that's a lot to ask for, but at the end of the day, we just have a burning passion that the gospel message would be spread by discipling other people all over the world.
You know what I've found in discipleship myself is that, you know, when I learn something really cool, especially if you're in leadership where, you know, you're obviously all of us are leading families or we're leading small groups or we're leading whatever. But when you find out something cool, if it's a God thing, it kind of burns in your heart and you want to share it. And then when you share it, then people start get excited. Next thing you know, you've got a book like, you know, Right. The first supper. And you had a cool idea. And next thing you know, you shared that, and all sorts of people are jumping in, and this is their opportunity. Mm-hmm. What's your hope for your book?
Well, I'd like to, I'm hoping it can get out to like homeschooling parents. There's with God being taken out of the school system, that's, you know, I grew up in it, where we would, you know, say the, you know, Pledge of Allegiance. We'd have a word of prayer in the mornings. We'd say prayer before we ate, you know, lunch. And with that being taken out, and it's also with COVID, you have so many of the schools going on lockdown, and so many of them unable to.
And shootings out the kazoo.
Yeah, and then so there are groups getting together of parents that are doing things, and this would be a great Christmas project for some of the parents to get together and have a meal. You know, the whole families that could do that around this book, and where that it would open up children's ideas and their minds to a different thought of how Christmas went. It was, you know, the First Supper was, you know, also the first Christmas, and it would open up for the parents. And it's not just a children thing. It can be an adult thing as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, there's Amazon has it. My publisher, Premium Press America out of Nashville, Tennessee, online, they have it. And I think it would be, so I've got another one coming out. It's going to tell the story of Noah, and because all the kids were like, how did the animals know to get on the boat, and tells that story.
Oh, you know, I was thinking about it, Richard and Rhonda, that when God is in something, it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like fun, and it feels like something that it brings a crowd, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, so much of what's dividing us all right now, as I think about your leadership model, Richard, is all these things that don't feel safe, all these things that don't sound like fun, and all these things that don't seem to have a purpose. And so I love what you talked about is, you know, there's clearly a purpose behind your book, mm-hmm. right? And there's clearly a purpose behind this event. And clearly God does not want us to live in a spirit of fear, right?
Right.
He wants us to feel safe, and he wants us to feel loved. And
I just want people not to get tired of the Christmas story, to see it the same old thing as they did, you know, in the second grade. That's when the third grade, I said, this has got to be different.
That's cool. That is so cool. And what do you think, you had talked about the sportscaster. Share something else you're excited about in the event that might pique somebody's interest, Richard.
Yeah, so, you know, we're just blessed. Even through COVID, we were able to train 35,000 leaders around the world, and most of them, Robbie, were youth. So I'm really excited about emerging leaders, and we just know that this gospel message is so important, and we need to put it in the hands of peer influencers. So I'm excited that we're actually going to have some younger leaders that are part of this as well, whether it be in the U.S. or Taiwan or the Philippines or even in the United Emirates. We've got people that are participating all over the world, and in particular overseas. We have this concept called Lead Your Family Like Jesus, and we've got a segment on that with Tricia Goyer, and that has just been so, so popular. It's been like wildfire overseas.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that here too.
That is so awesome. Again, the book is called The First Supper, mm-hmm. and you can find it on Amazon or find out more about
America.
It. There you go. And the event is, right, The Next Level Global Gathering. It's coming October 13th. You can find it all over the place, but you can certainly find it at Kingdom Pursuits. Now, I'm so grateful for Richard and Rhonda. Thank you very much for being with me today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi to my son, Ford, and my husband, Gil.
And my listeners. Everybody listening. Without you guys, it's not worth it, but you got so much fun coming at you. Encouraging Prayers up next, followed by The Masculine Journey in Winston-Salem. And then, Nikita, it's time to man up at 12:30.
This is the Truth Network.